Lord, we come before you. We bless your name. I thank you, Lord, for a wonderful holiday season we've just come through, celebrating with family and friends. And Lord, we pray for those that couldn't be here today. Lord, they'd just be well and healthy, Lord. We pray you bless the time of our study. Let it be anointed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let this time be a time where we can grow in you. I pray for our children's teachers, our youth teachers as well, that, Lord, they would have a message from you, Lord, through your word to your children. We are so thankful, Lord, that we have you in our lives. Guide us in our study this morning, I pray. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. We're starting a series, this is 5 weeks, called Serpents and Doves. And the only place in the Bible where a serpent is actually representing something positive is when Jesus says, be shrewd or be wise as serpents and be gentle as doves. And what he's talking about is kind of having a balance in our lives in the way that we go about interacting with people, sharing our faith, and this kind of thing. So we're going to look over the next 5 weeks, what he's talking about here and really how to talk to people about what we believe. As how many of you guys know, Christians can be judgmental sometimes. Yeah. It's true. But so can everybody else on the planet. I mean, you got Christians judging other Christians for not being Christian enough. You got non-Christians judging Christians for not being Christian enough or being too Christian. And then you got unbelievers judging other unbelievers for everything under the sun. Because, you know, how many of you guys know everybody's got a little bit of self-righteousness? So let's just admit it's a big judge fest, and we could probably all do a little better. Amen. Yeah, we just humble ourselves and admit that. I always love it when I see, you know, we beat ourselves up so much. We say, man, you know, they think Christians are judgmental. Believe me, we are not the only ones. Everybody struggles because we jump to conclusions when we see people, right? It's hard not to make a snap judgment. We'd like to think that we're better than that, but we all struggle with it. And that being said, how do we as Christians share what we believe with other people without coming off as overly judgmental? I think it's a challenge in our culture because we are in a time where we're no longer in what you might call a Christian culture, or we are transitioning away from traditional Judeo-Christian values in America, where it used to be a lot more strong as our base of what we might call normal. And it's going further away from that. And so we who believe in the Bible, we believe that Jesus is God, we believe we have a certain set of moral standards that we adhere to, we're kind of challenged in the workplace. We're challenged at school, right? Our kids are challenged. And so how do we deal with that? You know? How do we deal with that in a way, I should say, that we're not being obnoxious? And we're not coming off mean. And I don't think we can do that perfectly, but I think I want to talk today about motives. Because, you know, what motivates you really is going to affect what you say. It's also going to affect how you say something, right? Whatever motivates you, whatever your motive is for sharing your faith, for instance, it's going to have a big effect on how it's going to come out. Because how many of you guys know, if you don't care about what anybody thinks, you really don't care how it's going to come out. You're just going to say it, right? And we don't want to be that way because Jesus has called us to be loving, to be salt and light in this world. And the Apostle Paul wrote a particular passage we're going to look at today. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. Help if I turn it on. And I'm using New Living Translation this morning. It's a little bit easier to understand, but this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says this. He says, "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged." Some translations will see the judgment seat of Christ. "We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We're giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Some translations say a new creation. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Isn't that good? So, let's deal with that little first thing it says there. It says that we will all give an account for the things done while here on earth. Now, that's a pretty sobering thought, don't you think? That we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's for the believer, not for the unbeliever. This is not what standing before God and whether you're going to get into heaven or whether you're going to hell. It's not whether you're saved or you're not saved. This specific judgment, standing before Christ, is for the believer. Okay? It is to judge our works while on earth as a believer in Christ. We'll be evaluated by what we did with our freedom in Christ. Okay? We're going to be evaluated, again, by what we did with our freedom, what Christ gave us. The picture presented here by the Apostle Paul is one of Caesar sitting on the bema, the judgment seat, at a reward ceremony at the end of the Olympics. And in the Greeks, they had the Olympics. They would win, and they would come. And, you know, in the Olympics now, we give a gold medal. Back then, they would give a crown, a wreath of leaves, and they would put that crown on the victor's head. And whatever other rewards. And so the picture is a seat of reward. So we're coming before Christ, and depending upon what we did with our life on this earth for him, we're rewarded. What those rewards look like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a crown. I don't know. We don't really know what that's like. We're not told that. But you see, we're not working for salvation. What we're doing is, because we are the Lord's, we're working for him. We're called, every Christian is called to do that. So that's what he's talking about here. So, and Paul says that whenever you, he says therefore, right? So whenever you see the word therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. Right? There's a reason, and especially you'll see this when we study, if you're in the Romans class, Paul uses legal arguments, but He prefaces what he's going to say. Then he says, therefore, so he gives this whole judgment seat. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, we persuade others. Right? We have a fear of God. and we persuade others. What is persuasion? I remember in a Bible study, I talked about persuading other people for Christ, and they thought, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, what do you think persuade means? And they were thinking, it's kind of manipulative, and, you know, you're playing with words. That's not what persuasion is. Persuasion just means think about what you're going to say to the person you're saying it to. Think about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. Then it might be effective. That's all. I'm persuading you. It means my motive is I want you to know Christ, and so I'm going to do the best job that I can to preach his word. I'm going to do the best job I can to share my understanding of the Bible. I'm going to do the best job that I can to convince you that Christ is the way. So I'm going to persuade. So persuading somebody, that's a positive thing. People try to persuade us to do things all the time. You watch commercials and they persuade you to try to buy their products, although a lot of times they're manipulative and underhanded. But we do everything open eyes and above board. Amen? So one day we're going to have to give an account. And so we want to think about, hey, what am I doing to represent Christ? Who am I trying to reach for him? How am I trying to reach people? And then it says what? That we're controlled by Christ's love. I have to confess something that sometimes, you know, when I go on the Facebook or one of the news feeds that I have on my phone and I look at some of these articles or look at some of the stories and I see something, whether it's saying something against the faith or against Christianity, against what I believe, or a subject that I'm passionate about, I immediately want to, there's so many things I want to write. I just want to respond. I just want to say something. You know what I mean? You just want to make a comment. Oh, I want to make a comment. It's going to be lost in 15,000 other comments, but go ahead, right? And I remember one time, I counted, it was a long time ago, I must have spent 2 or 3 hours crafting this brilliant response, and it just gets lost in like 20,000 other comments. I'm thinking, what am I wasting my time doing this? This is silly, right? I don't do that anymore. Because why? I have to think about what I'm going to say. And a lot of people don't. They just, blah, you know. They just vomit it out. That's what it's like. And people read it and go, that's gross, right? And they get offended. But sometimes there's things that I want to say, but I probably shouldn't say, because I'm not going to say it in a way that's going to glorify God. I'm going to say it in a way so I can outsmart the person, so I can correct them, so it pumps me up, but does it glorify God? Right? Some of you guys are going, oh, man, I think I'm going to delete some posts. But that's why I have a hard time, so I don't write as much as I should. I don't respond as much as I should, I don't respond as much as I initially want to. I hold back because I don't want the motive to be just me. I want to be God. So we persuade people not to win an argument, not to think we're smarter than some, oh, you're stupid, I'm smart. And you see a lot of that, right? Don't get involved in that. It's not productive. But this word controlled, I looked it up in the Greek, synkio. Basically, what it is it's where we get the word sync or synchronize, to be controlled by Christ. How many of you guys, you have Bluetooth on your phone, right? And you sync that Bluetooth, right? You connect it with the external speakers. How many of you guys got external speakers for Christmas? How many of you guys got more than one external speaker for Christmas? Everybody's like, go to Ross. Go to Target. But you get these things and you sync them up. And then how many of you guys, you have a hands-free in your car, right? You go in your car, and then all of a sudden it's all, which phone is it syncing to? My phone is on number one priority. Syncs to your phone, right? And you're like, so I brought this button, I press, and I can call so-and-so. I have to mispronounce some of you guys' names because the software in there is not the most brilliant software. So I have to totally mispronounce your name for it to come out right. It's pretty hilarious here in the car. It's synced to the car. But now it's gone further. Now we can sync our phone, you know, to our homes, and we can see who's at the house. And some of you guys got cameras, and you can actually open your door. I don't know if I want that on my phone, right? People, you can open your door. You can sync the light. Well, I'm going to turn my lights on. Look at what I can do. Hey, you know what they got? You can program your crock pot from your phone. And I'm thinking, isn't this like a lot more steps than just, you know, turn it on and walk away? Right? So there's all this, everything is synced. We have all the stuff synced to our mobile devices, and this is synced to that, and that's synced, and this remote control. And Tammy used to go, why do we have these three remote controls? I don't know, hon, I'll fix it. And now I got down to one. But why is it we're so synced to our phone? And we can control everything to that device. We struggle to be synced with the Savior. Because that's what that word means. You see, we're just like those devices are synced together. We're to be that in sync with our Creator, that controlled. Not that it's like we're robots or automatons. We're not that, you know, control. He controls our every movement, but our hearts are controlled by Him. And if we're that in sync with God, if we're that into God, if we're that into Jesus, then we don't have to go through 5 or 10 layers of fleshly justification for why we don't want to talk to somebody about God, or why we don't want to go to church, or why we don't want to read our Bible, or, oh, well, I got this thing, I got this, right? It just pushes the flesh out of the way because we're in sync with God. And we want to be with Him. We want the fellowship of the brethren. We want to be in His Word, right? And so we have this thing called the flesh. It's you know, our earthly body and stuff and its desires, but we have the Spirit of God. And you see, when we get in sync with the Spirit of God, all this other stuff, these other desires, I mean, none of them are, they're not all bad, but the thing is that they don't control us anymore. God controls us. See, and that's kind of that mystery of getting more in sync with the Lord, getting more controlled by Christ. And then he talks about we no longer judge according to the world's perspective. Probably moved on here. Right, okay, we did that. We're not to judge just by outward appearance, right? We no longer judge according to the flesh. I just kind of explained the flesh is not just my skin, it's my, you know, my outward appearance, but it's also my mind, my carnal mind, or, you know, how I am without Christ. So he says we don't just look at somebody and judge merely by appearance, and he's talking about certain ministries, right? Because in this context, he talks about false teachers. And he says, be careful that you don't look at and judge and go, wow, that's a huge ministry right there. That's pretty spectacular. Wow, look at all that great music. Wow, look at all those great things going on. What you got to look is, did they use the name Jesus? What do they say about him? Did they talk about why Jesus died on the cross? Because there's a false gospel out there, ladies and gentlemen. There's an alternative to the Bible's teaching. It basically just says something like, well, yeah, Jesus died on the cross, so, you know, I can feel good about myself. I'm going to tell you that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, of His standard. There is nothing we can do to earn our way into heaven. And if we think that we're good, and by our good works we can earn our way to heaven, that's called self-righteousness. And that's a problem most people struggle with, is not that they don't feel worthy. Because if you don't feel worthy, then, well, okay, you're not. So you've already figured that out. But now Jesus died on the cross, making you worthy, and by accepting him, you can be saved. You can be with him for all eternity. Amen? But the problem is, that we're living in a culture where more and more people are just going, yeah, I'm a good person. I'm good. No, you're not. Maybe by your standard and comparative to other people. But when we're talking about comparing to God, no, none of us are good compared to God. And all he's saying is, humble yourself. Come to me. Just humble yourself. But we can't. We have such a hard time humbling ourselves. And the more you think that you're good, that you've got things all together, the harder it is to come to Christ. The harder it is for him to reach into your heart because you're thinking, I'm all that. And God's going, you're not getting it. Just humble yourself, right? So don't judge just by outward appearance, right? But even we can judge people by their outward appearance, right? We do it all the time. We do it without even thinking, without a word being in our brain. You know, you just drive and you're thinking, man, that person is, right? Right? You judge their driving, or you're walking down the street, you see them, you can make this instantaneous judgment. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Some of it, it's kind of automatic. But I think as we get closer to Christ, he's saying, hey, don't judge. See, everybody in the image of God. Everybody's made in the image of God. Everybody is, you know, deserving of that hope, of his love. Amen? So see people created in the image of God before you've even talked to them, before you even know what they believe. I mean, they might hate on you. We'll talk a little bit about how to deal with that next week. But before you've even met them, before you've even talked to them, they're created in the image of God. But that's the thing. We got to push past this judging on outer appearances, the judging ministries or judging organizations or judging people. It's all what's going on in here, in our hearts. And a lot of times, people are good at hiding what's in their hearts. And only Christ can see in them. So we have to be careful when we approach people. That make sense? So part of that is putting that overhead. Okay, don't sum them up and think that you know what's going on with them. You have no idea what is going on in their life. Some people, they just have a look about them, like, leave me alone. Right? You ever try to, you walk up, hey, oh, yeah, okay. Right? I've had that happen sometimes at church. I mean, I don't see people do it so much to me, but I've heard sometimes, man, I just walked up to him and I was like, okay, he's kind of unfriendly. Oh, no, he's good. Maybe he's just having a bad day. I don't know. Let's give it another chance. Go talk to him. But we just kind of judge by outward appearance with anything. Oh, man, I don't know. You don't know what day somebody's had. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know if they're just walking in this door and they've just been told, this is your last paycheck. You don't know. You don't know. We never know. And so we want to start with love. Amen? Start just love on people. The more and more that we get closer to God, the more we're controlled with him, the more that's going to be our default position. Now, it says our mission is what? To reconcile people to God, right? And we talked a little bit about that last week, so I don't want to go over that again, but the human race, the human waste, the human race, Pastor Dave's inventing new words. The human race is at war with God. That's what the Bible tells us. He created us. We said, we can do better, and thanks a lot, but goodbye. And he said, really? Okay, this is my garden. Get out. And we're like, fine then. We're going to build this society. He said, really? Here's a flood. Oh. 8 of you get to live through this. The rest of you, maka. Now, so, Noah comes out of the ark. repopulates the plain of Shinar. We're going to build a tower. We're going to be just like God. Did we just go through this? Come on, right? We just don't learn. We're so prideful. We're so self-righteous. We don't get it. Human nature has never changed. One thing that has never evolved is human nature. It's never changed. And the only way to truly progress is to progress spiritually. You need to get a new nature, and you can only get that in Jesus. Amen? So these guys, you know, they build a tower, and he's all like, huh, really? Okay, no, did flood? Nope, did that. Nope. Ah, here's all your languages. Read chapter 11. That's where we get our languages, the original proto-languages before a lot of the modern languages today that came from that event. God split us up. Said, really? You think you're all that? Boom. And then they're down there with saws and hammers going, hey, hand me that tool over there, okay? Oh, this ain't getting done. It's going to take too long to draw pictures. We're out of here. So eventually, what, Christ comes along, right? God picks a guy, Abraham. Is actually Jesus speaking to him? Jesus is in the Old Testament. I don't know if you knew that. It was another site for another day. But he ends up showing up in the Old Testament before he's born as a child in the New Testament. So, but this is the cool thing. Tells Abraham, I'll make a people out of you. You're going to be a light to all the nations, right? The whole idea of the Jews was that they would be a light to spread God's message to the entire world. That was about 4,000 years ago. Right, 2,000 years ago, Christ came. He died on the cross. His death on the cross saves everybody before, saves everybody after. Here's the catch. You got to have faith. Just got to have faith. You got to believe. You believe he's the one that bridges the gap between you and God. Believe he's the one that reconciles you between, reconciles us with God. You got to believe that. Amen? So our biggest problem is us. We get in our own way. I don't know. I'm a very tall, clumsy person. I tend to trip over myself, you know, sometimes. So, but you know what? We all trip over ourselves with sin. We all trip over ourselves with thinking we can do it on our own. And even as Christians, sometimes we start going and we think, man, I got this. I don't church. I can do church. I can do this. I can do that. I can do, oh, I'm good. And we get a little bit arrogant, and that flesh sneaks back in, and then we're not being controlled by Christ, controlled by flesh. And we go, oh, humble ourselves. So it's a struggle. But why do we do what we do? Here's the motive. Here's the bottom line. Let me sum it up with this, okay? Right? We ought to be controlled by Christ's love. Our motive for doing what we do, for sharing our faith, for feeding the homeless, for giving out Bibles, all these things that you guys do, you know. You take what I've given you and you just go out and do these things. And it's amazing to me. It really is. Because you're ambassadors of Christ to a world in need. Now, how many of you guys know what an ambassador does? What does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes to a foreign country. If you're a U.S. ambassador, you go to Kenya or Uganda or someplace. Maybe they put you in Iraq. I don't know. But you go there, you go to the embassy, you have foreign officers that are under you, and they have various responsibilities. But the whole idea of an ambassador is you can walk among the people there, you can talk to the people in that country, you can eat with dinner with them, you can have a great time with them, but you are not them. You are a citizen of the United States. You represent the policies, the values, and the political positions of the United States. You are a citizen here that has been assigned over there to reach them. Not that they're bad people, but they're different than you. We are ambassadors of Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. We represent the policies, the positions, and the values of heaven. And so when we go into this world, we are no longer our own. We are aliens. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. We don't even belong here anymore. And so it's very difficult to live as a citizen of heaven when you're not where you're supposed to be. The culture is very different. But we are ambassadors of Christ because we love. We love God, and therefore we love His creation. And therefore everyone made in the image of God is deserving of our respect and of our full intent to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone. No matter how they look, no matter how they smell, no matter where they live. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is all over the scriptures, guys. It's all over. And it's hard, I know, sometimes to grab a hold of this because this is the world we live in. But don't forget where your citizenship is. Don't forget where your citizenship is. Don't forget the values and the positions and the policies that you represent that come from the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things it says in Romans chapter 1, which is a beautiful chapter, but it's so telling, it says the wrath of God is revealed against mankind, right? Because of rebellion. The world is rebelling against God. It's at war with God. And it's so crazy because you think, oh, how harmless the name of Jesus seems. You mention Jesus, and some people have a conniption fit. And you're like, just, whoa. There's a reaction, and we'll talk about that reaction because we got to get over it, gang. You know, if you get upset, when people get upset when you talk about Jesus, you need to get over that. And I want to help you to get over it and to get through it because you need to understand what's going on. There's a reaction in the spirit that's going on. And you got to press through that because on the other side is something beautiful waiting to happen. Something will blow your mind. Sometimes, often the most receptive people to the gospel are those that resist it right up front. And so, it's all about connecting to Christ, kind of getting outside of ourselves to really be the people He's called us to be. And I'll tell you, man, being an ambassador for Christ in this world is an amazing thing. Irritating sometimes, but amazing. Amazing privilege and an honor. We're called to be ambassadors, gang. Our motive is the love of Christ, the love of God, the love. Just think about how much mercy and grace He's had in you and had on you. And just project that onto other people as you talk to them and think, man, God wants to have that same mercy on them. I'm representing Him. I will also have this mercy on them. It's not about me. It's all about You, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before You. And Lord, we ask Your forgiveness. For at times, we have been judgmental. I personally ask Your forgiveness for at times that I have been impatient and irritated. And dare I say, sometimes maybe even a little obnoxious. I don't want to come off as a know-it-all. I don't care about impressing, Lord. But I know there's people that are hurting that need Your love. They need answers. They need hope. And I pray that each one of us here would be able to be equipped to offer that to them, to offer that hope by telling them of You. Lord, we just love You, Lord. I pray that as we enter into this new year, the classes, the small groups, the studies, everything that's going on, but just have Your anointing, Your touch upon it. Guide us as we begin ministries, Lord, this year, as we step out of our comfort zone, as You fill our hearts with a fire, Lord, to do what You've been calling us to do, God. Help us to push aside all the justifications, all the, you know, things that might get in the way, oh God, and let us just have faith in You and believe that You have called us to be a people that are ambassadors for you in this world and to reach others. Let us reach others, Lord, in our islands here in 2019. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, God bless you guys. You have a great week.